Luke 24, verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. What a great statement. If you pull that one statement out of the Bible, you've destroyed the Bible. You've destroyed salvation. You've destroyed every single doctrine of the Scripture. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of all Christian doctrine. No matter how good he did, what he did in life, the good deeds he did, all the miracles he did, even dying on a cross, had not he arose that third day, it would have canceled out everything else. Amen? So just don't read over that real lightly. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. One note here is that they were perplexed because of forgetfulness. They were in the shape they were in, frantic, coming apart at the seams. Why? Because they didn't remember. They had heard Jesus several times. You can look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can find several times where Jesus told them, told his disciples, his followers, that this was going to happen, that he did not come here to be popular. He came here to die. For this cause came I into the world. You know, and so they knew it. They heard it. But they just let it slip. They let it go. They just couldn't, they didn't remember it. And here at this appointed time, they were in the condition they were in because they had forgotten the message. Well, how many times that's happened? How many times has that happened to us? God sent us a message either in our devotions, as some of the young ladies shared this morning. God sent a message through the Sunday school lesson, as we heard this morning. God sent a message through the preaching, and we think, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. Or maybe we don't get a hold of it just altogether. But instead of storing it back, meditating on it, making a note of it, we just forget it. And the truth here is, what you hear on one day, you're going to need on another day. When he told them that he was going to rise again the third day, they didn't need that day. They didn't need that day. That was before the fact. But when the day come, when they really needed it, they had forgotten it. So I believe it would help us to make a note here to put forth an effort to remember what God says to us. Amen? Make some marks in your Bible. God gives you a verse. God gives you a promise. God says something to you in your devotions. Hey, mark it down. You may not need it that day, but you're going to need it. God never speaks in vain. He never says anything just to be speaking, just to idle words. He's saying things to you because you are going to need it one day. Even Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The implication there is every word that he spoke to you is going to be spiritual nutrition to you, and that you're going to grow off of that, and you're going to develop off of that. You're going to have strength off of that, and it's going to help you in days to come when you're dealing with tasks of life and troubles of life. Amen. Amen. We're so saturated with preaching and exposure to God's word through teaching, and I mean, especially this part of the country. If we're not careful, we'll let a lot of that slip. We'll just say, babe, hey, that's good. That's a good sermon. Or that's a good preaching, or that was a good Sunday school lesson. Instead of, hey, you know what? I better remember that. God may be wanting to say something to me now to help me tomorrow. Well, didn't mean to get on that, but I seen that as I was reading the scripture just now. Felt like the Lord had me to point that out. Twice there he talked about remember. Remember how he spake unto you in verse number 6. And then in verse number 7, or verse 8, and they remembered his words. They remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene of Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words, notice this, and their words seemed to them, the words of these ladies that had remembered what Jesus said, come and told the disciples, the apostles, what had happened, and they said their words seemed as idle tales. In whatever form God gives you a word, you better not treat it as just an idle tale. And they believed them not. Verse 12, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes had laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And I'm not going to read all of the following verses, but starting in verse 13, we pick up the story with the two on the road to Emmaus. And we know how that they had left Jerusalem. Well, let me just read the first few verses here. Verse 13, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about three score furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself, now this is the resurrected Christ, the one that was rose from the dead, that was not in the grave, here he is joining himself as they spake one with another en route to Emmaus, their home. He joins himself to them and begins to listen to them first. He begins to listen and then he begins to speak to them. And he drew near and went with them. Verse 16, and their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, notice this verse, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk? And listen to this next statement. Say it about Christians and are sad. The tomb is empty. God did what he said. The price has been paid and you're sad. Where, and you know this is right. Today is probably the most sad Christianity that's been on the face of the earth up to this present time. You can't hardly find anybody going to church, including a preacher, that's got any joy. And that ought not to be. But Jesus spends a good bit of time dealing with them, and he even asked them the question, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another? In other words, I've been listening to you talk. Uh-oh. I've been listening to you talk, and the Lord does do that. He listens to us talk, and he asked the question, why are you sad? Why is your conversation sad? I'm alive is what he said. He didn't say that right here, but later on in the verses, their eyes were opened that they should see him and know the truth. And, oh, they were excited. But here's what I want to preach this morning, a thought that the Lord has revived and refreshed in my heart. Verse number 6 says, he is not here. He is risen. Basically what it was saying was, he's up. Well, we come down to verse number 17 and he asked them, why are you sad? He basically was saying, you're down. I want to preach, the Lord to help me just for a few minutes. I won't be able to preach at all, I know. But I want to preach on, he's up when you're down. I'm glad he's not down when I'm down. I'm glad he's not even down when I'm up. I'm glad he's not down at all. There was some downs in his life that were very important. One, he came down from glory to become the incarnate Son of God. God manifest in the flesh. Thank God he did get down that way. Amen. He got down in condescension, humiliation, coming to this world. And then I find another down where he laid down his life on an old rugged cross. And then Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took his body down from the cross. And then they laid his body down in a sepulcher. And guess what? The next time you read about Jesus, he's a getting up. Well, there was another down. Lord just brought another down to my heart. While his body was in the heart of the in the grave for 3 days and three nights, he was in the heart of the earth. I never noticed this morning, Brother Mark was reading and teaching this morning tremendous. In fact, he's taught my lesson, my message. All I have to do is get up here and say amen. And all that. Some of you probably wish I would. Amen. But I'd never seen it before. But when it talked about Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea taking the body of Jesus down, they referred to the body as an it. They laid it in the tomb. Are you listening? An it is an inanimate object. Amen. Jesus was not in that body. Boy, I thought about that when we go out on the hillside and we plant our loved ones in the grave. That's not them. Their body is classified as an it. They're gone. Amen. They're gone. But I wanted to. While his body was there, though his. He himself went to the heart of the earth and led captivity captive and took paradise and all the Old Testament saints and took them now to heaven. Amen. The third heaven, the paradise of God. But the next thing we see about him, he's getting up. He's getting up. Amen. He's getting up. Amen. Well, there's one more down that he's going to do. Lord just brought that to my attention. We can't leave it hanging right there, Brother Brian. There's one more down. There's some ups right here. He got up, you know, and then he ascended up. Well, Lord showed me another down just now. Amen. He ascended back, and guess what he did? Bible said he sat down. As our high priest, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But guess what? He's fixing to come back. He's fixing to come back again, back down, and get us. Amen. We that are saved by the grace of God. But I'm glad he's up when I'm down. Are you down this morning? Are you down this morning? Are you discouraged this morning? Are you defeated this morning? The circumstances of life will wear you out. Or can we not testify of that? We've got to have a constant inflow of joy because there's plenty of leaks. We've got to have a constant exposure to God and His Word because as we go through life, things just drains us. Amen. And God help us to realize that Jesus got up for a very good reason, several good reasons, and that's all a message in itself. But we know that the resurrection could be preached as proof. And it is. It's proof. He rose again and was made certain of that by many infallible proofs, the Bible says. Infallible, undeniable proofs. And it is a fact that he got up, amen? No doubt about that. You can go around the world and there's several tombs and there's several graves that are marked by noted names, people of reputation, people you know that are popular, maybe for whatever reason. But you know those graves are marked and recognized because of who's in them. But I want to tell you, Jesus' grave and his tomb was popular because of who was not in it. Amen. He was not there. But there was a proof. And then we could find in the verse that we quoted earlier, Philippians 3:10, that the resurrection can be looked at as something powerful. Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And then we can look at it as a prerequisite. The resurrection as a prerequisite. Nobody gets saved that does not believe in the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus. Romans chapter number 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you disbelieve the resurrection, you are not saved. And as long as that disbelief is there, you cannot get saved. Amen. We're not saved by explanation. You don't have to be able to explain how that happened. I can't explain it. Neither can you explain how that God did that, how He rose from the dead. I can't explain that, but I believe it. Amen? I believe it. So we could talk about it being a prerequisite. On His part, He had to die and He had to be buried and He had to rise again for us to get saved. We know in Romans chapter number 4 that He was delivered for our offenses, but He was raised again for our justification. He got up to save you. Amen. But we can look at it also as a position. Hebrews chapter number 7, we find that He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Bible says that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Thank God for that. If it didn't say that, we'd be in trouble. But the Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for us. So you can look at it as a position. But I want to look at it this way, as something practical. What good would the resurrection of Jesus be if all it was doctrine? If all it was a historical event, what good would that be? I'm telling you, we find a classic portrait of this in our text. He gets up, and you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the accounts, and you'll find that when Jesus gets up, He immediately starts ministering to people that are down. Now, I know, you look at His disciples and you think, I can't believe Peter would be down. I can't believe Mary would be down, and I can't believe that the disciples would be down. I mean, look at the miracles they saw. They heard Him teach, and they saw Him preach, and they saw Him, and they were eyewitnesses of His glory. I mean, Peter was even on the Mount of Transfiguration. Can you get that? I mean, he heard God speak audibly from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." It was Peter that even said, "It's such a good thing to be up here in all this glory. Let's make 3 tabernacles and just stay here." Yeah, Peter. But that's the very one, my friend, that denied the Lord, said he didn't know Him. And then even after the resurrection, when the ladies brought the news that He was alive, that it was Peter that didn't believe it. Said it was an idle tale. And had to go look for himself. Practical. I've got good news for you this morning. And that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a right now in my life, every day, practical help to me. Thank God. Jesus got up that He could help you. He is up when you're down. Nobody sent word to Jesus and said, "Now, you need to go down there on the road to Emmaus. There's 2 disciples and they're in bad shape. And they've done give up and they're going back to the house." That, you know, nobody had to tell Him. He knows the condition of His people. He knows when you're down. He knows when you're discouraged. He knows when you're defeated. He knows when you're distant. He knows. He knows what direction you're going in, what road or path you're traveling on. And we find Jesus going to them. Why? Why did He do that? He wanted to help them. He knew that to leave them in that condition, that they would be of no spiritual benefit to Him. Because nobody discouraged has ever served God. Nobody discouraged and defeated and depressed has ever been of any help to the Lord. That's why Jesus moves quickly to help you. Sends you a word, speak to you, touch you. Amen. When you least deserve it. You say, "Preacher, those on the road to Emmaus, they didn't deserve for Him to do that." They should have had faith that kept them strong, and they should have not looked at it and said, well, we did believe, as in past tense, that it was He. We really did trust that it would have been Him, that He was really the one. You know, but no, Jesus knows how frail, Jesus knows how fickle that you and I are. He knows how prone we are. My friend, be up one Sunday and down on Monday. He knows how prone we are. And listen, Jesus knew before He ever saved me that I was going to require a whole lot of attention. He knew that. It wasn't just a, all right, I'm going to save you and there you go and you'll do good. No, He knew He was going to get me out of the ditch a lot of times. He knew that I'd get discouraged and I'd get to looking at the natural world and I'd get to looking, as Brother Martin pointed out this morning, trying to explain the resurrection with a natural explanation. He's not here. I know what's happened. Somebody stole Him. Somebody's robbed the grave. So, you know, tell me where you've laid Him. You know, wanting a natural explanation. Boy, that was some good teaching, I'll tell you. But all Jesus died and He rose again that He can be an everyday practical Savior in your life. If we're not careful, we'll think Jesus is somewhere way off and out of reach. Oh no, Christ in you, Paul said. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh yes, He's in your life to help you. He's in your life to help you. Amen. Well, I thought about this. I jotted these few little thoughts down. You know that when Jesus, He got up, there'll never be another battle that'll be too fierce. There'll never be a burden too heavy. There'll never be a hardship that'll be too intense. There'll never be a trial that's too difficult. There'll never be a sorrow that'll be unbearable. And there'll never be a situation that'll be hopeless. He got up. He's up. As I speak, He is up. Amen. He's up when you're down. Amen. What you need when you're down is not the world. What you need when you're down is not drugs and alcohol and immorality and a wild life. That's not what you need. I asked one not long ago that's had a real bad drug addiction and I said, I want to ask you one thing. Does it ever help you? Has it ever made you happy? Has it ever satisfied you? Hundreds of dollars a day spent out on that stupid mess. And the answer was no. Well, common sense in me says if it's not doing nothing except emptying your billfold or your pocketbook, then why do it? You know why they keep going back and keep going back and they keep going back? You know why? The devil's told them that it will eventually satisfy them. If they'll get enough of it, if they'll do it long enough, my friend, it'll satisfy them. No, I've never met one yet that was satisfied by sin and by this world. No, no, friend. He's up when you're down. Isn't that a blessing? Praise the Lord. You say, preacher, why were they down? Well, really, just one explanation. They were down because of faithlessness. Brother Mark made a statement this morning. I tell you, I wrote it in my Bible. I mean, it was an excellent statement. When he was talking about Mary, how that she looked and she said, where have you laid him, you know? She was trying to explain it with some natural explanation instead of believing God and the spiritual part of it. And I wrote it down right there. And Brother Mark said that doubt, and that's what she was doing. She was doubting. Brother Mark, I can use it, can't I? Thank you, brother. I'm giving you credit. Said that doubt, and she was doubting. But doubt, Brother Mark brought it out. I mean, excellent. Said doubt is really faith in something else. She didn't know where he was at. She doubted the truth of it, but she had faith in this. Okay, fess up. Somebody stole him. Who is? Tell me where you've laid him. You know, she had faith in that and doubt in the truth. Well, that's good, isn't it? Well, we're down. We get down because our eyes are off of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to reteach Brother Mark's lesson because some of you wasn't here. Amen. It should have been. And some of you that were downstairs need to hear it, amen. He talked about Peter, that example of Peter. He said Peter began to sink because he put faith in the storm. Doubt is putting faith in something else. Instead of having faith in the Lord, which enabled him to walk from the boat on the storm, on the sea, when he got his faith in the storm rather than the Savior, he started sinking. So really, everybody around the resurrection was defeated people. Did you know that? I can't get over that. Every one of them. Every one of them was defeated, except John. When he went in and went inside the tomb, the Bible said something about him that he didn't say about the rest. The Bible said he believed. But the rest of them was defeated. I mean, think about it. Peter stood inside the empty tomb. Mary inside the empty tomb and got the poochie lip. Isn't that something? That shows the power of defeat and the power of discouragement and the power of doubt. You can be all in and all around truth and still be defeated. Amen? Boy, that was great. Boy, I tell you, that was good. Amen? Maybe you needed to hear it again. How's your faith doing this morning? We need to quit asking people how you feel. Because I'm sure you're going to find out. Amen. So I said, preacher, you just don't know how I feel. And I thought in my heart, I said, well, no, but I'm fixing to find out, I'm sure. Amen. We don't need to ask people how you feel. We need to ask people, how's your faith? How's your faith? Faith is stronger than feelings. Boy, that's good. Amen. But they were all down. They were all discouraged. They were all defeated. They were all depressed. Going home, Peter said he is going fishing, and the other disciples said, we're going with you. Now, listen, can you imagine how Jesus felt? He had spent all of this time trying to train these men, teach these men. I mean, I'm talking about person to person, one-on-one, right there, getting to see it. And then when it comes time to die, when it comes time for Jesus to die, where were they at? We know John was there. Where was Peter at? Where was the rest of them at? I mean, can you imagine how Jesus felt to have invested as much time as he did in these men thinking, surely they'll go with me and follow me. And when Jesus went to the cross, there wasn't but one there. I mean, you would have thought Jesus, I'm trying to feel what Jesus felt, which is hard to feel that, But can you imagine this? Jesus told them while he was alive that he was going to die, that he was going to be buried, he was going to rise the third day, did he not? They knew that, or at least they'd been exposed to that. You would have thought that all of them would have been at the tomb early that morning waiting on him to get up. Come on, boys, we're not sleeping tonight. No. We're not going to bed tonight, fellas. Hey, we're going down the tomb. This is the third morning. We're fixing to come up on 72 hours and he's coming out and we're going to be there to greet him. But guess what? Wasn't a one of them there except Mary. Mary was sitting at the sepulcher. But that was in unbelief. Can you imagine how that made the Lord feel? And then I thought after that, I said, well, how does he feel when he looks at us? Look at the time he's invested in us. Look at how much time he has spent with us, helping us and speaking to us and going after us. Amen. Come on. Going after us when we're going in the wrong direction. I mean, look at the time spent and then look how fickle we are. How flimsy. He knows us. And he got up because he knew that we needed a living, practical Savior in our life to guide us, to guard us, to help us. He knew that. He got up. As soon as he got up, he started ministering to people. Amen? Started ministering to people. Mary was there. You know, and she was there in doubt and unbelief and thought he was the gardener and all of that. And he spoke her name, Mary. Her spiritual consciousness was open there. And she knew immediately who that was, because nobody can speak to you like he can. She knew who it was. And she said, Rabboni. And she called him Master. Yeah. Oh, yes. And Jesus told her, said, I got something I want you to do for me. I'm paraphrasing, of course. I want you to go and find Peter. Now, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done that. Peter done denied me 3 times. I mean, even got in the flesh over it. You know, I wouldn't have sent for him. But you know what? He said to Mary, go and tell Peter also. So I want you to go and tell Peter also. Isn't that just like the Lord? Isn't that just like the Lord? Know what shape we're in. But he makes a move not based on what we deserve, but our need. I need to help Peter is what he was saying. I can't leave Peter in that on that boat of fishing. I've got to go after him. And stood on the shore and said, children, have you any meat? Right. Oh, he went to helping them. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going through some stuff quickly here for sake of time. But you know what else? There was those other disciples that were huddled up in a room afraid. You know, can you just see them in there? They had to be Baptists. They had to be Baptist. It says in there, afraid. Guess what Jesus did? Jesus didn't knock. Jesus didn't say, excuse me, can I come in? The indication is he stepped through the wall. Jesus stepped through the wall and just appeared to them. And I'm sure one of them probably looked around and said, well, look who's here. Hey, man, look who's here. Hey, but you know why Jesus did that? He's up. When we're down, he wanted to move in there and help them and get them over their fear. And Thomas, who missed the first Sunday morning church service. Thomas missed the first Sunday morning church service when Jesus showed up. You never know when Jesus is going to show up, amen, and you be at the house or whatever and somebody tell, oh man, you should have been there. I kind of like telling people that. I like kind of putting salt in the wound and say, oh, man, you should have been there. I'm telling you, God moved, God blessed, God spoke. Amen. And just make them just feel just as regretful as I can get them. You say, preach, that's not spiritual. Well, I didn't say it was spiritual. I want people to miss coming to church. Amen. Jesus showed up that first time and met with them, and Thomas wasn't even there. Guess what Jesus did next Sunday? Showed up. Thomas was there. And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I see. Boy, Jesus said, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And you know what Thomas did? Thomas didn't even have to do that. Thomas just fell down and said, my Lord and my God. Amen. I mean, you can go through the different disciples around the resurrection and you find Jesus picking them up, encouraging them, picking them up, strengthening them. Amen. He's here today to do that. We would be shocked how this congregation, how many people in here really, you're down. Down spiritually. Amen. Can't remember the last time that you just had the joy bells of God ringing in your soul and, you know, just down. Boy, I'll tell you, I've been down. I mean, I'm not down now, but I've been down. In my 30 years of being saved, I've probably been down more than I've been up. Come on now. Pastor in a Baptist church, I promise you're going to be down some. Amen. But you know what? Jesus is a practical Savior. He is a personal practical Savior. And He knows how you're feeling. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. And He's up when you're down. Amen. Well, that's a blessing. That is a wonderful truth. That is a wonderful, wonderful message and an illustrated message out of the Word of God. And when you get home, Sometime today or this week, you ought to read Luke 24, the rest of the story of the two on the road to Emmaus. And look how it was that he dealt with them being down. And look at how he picked them up and how they got fired up. And when their eyes was open and he rebuked them good and sharp with the word of God, guess what they did? They went straight back to Jerusalem that night. I mean, excited, running up the road, had a time. In other words, they had revival. I remember preaching on that one time several years ago at Newport, preached on a resurrection revival. Man, I'm telling you. Listen, you don't have to be down. If you're down this morning, you need to think, why am I down? What am I focusing on? What am I looking at? What am I depending on? Amen. What am I doing? What direction am I going in? And I believe that probably with just a little bit of examination, you'll probably find out why you're down. And every time I'm down, it's my fault. Every time. Amen. Every time, Brother Brian, I get down, it's my fault. Are you listening? But anyway, I believe God wanted to share that with you, just a little simple truth. We had several other things we could have said about it, but I believe you got the gist of it, you got the message of it, that he's up when you're down. That's a tremendous resurrection truth right there. Amen. And if you're here lost, if you've never been saved, let me tell you something. You are down. You're as far away from God as you can get. Amen. Spiritually dead, distant, away from God. You need a risen Savior in your life. You need to be born again. And the Lord can help you. Amen. I wouldn't trade Him. I wouldn't trade Him for nothing. He's been the best friend to me. Amen. When you can't depend on nobody, you can depend on Him. Because He's up when you're down. Let's all stand to our feet. We'll be bow for a word of prayers. Sister Paul Sue makes her way. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. And we ask God that You'd take the message, the truth of it. Lord, the truth of it, and help folk with it today. Lord, there's no doubt there's people here today that are down. For whatever reason, they're down spiritually. Lord, I'm talking about even saved people, Lord. And Lord, You know exactly who they are. And Lord, You sent this little simple little truth to try to encourage them today. Lord, and I want to thank You that the resurrection is taught in the Scripture over 104 times in the New Testament. Lord, I thank You that it is a doctrine. It is a reality. But Lord, I want to thank You for being a practical Savior. Lord, that You got up accomplishing a great thing. But Lord, I want to thank You that You moved to help Your people. You moved to speak to Your people when we least deserve it, but we need it. You're a Savior to be depended on and counted on. And Lord, I want to thank You that as the Scripture was read by Sister Morgan today, I'm glad that You know the way that we take, that when we have come forth, we'll come forth as gold. Lord, there may be some here today that's just dragging, beat up, bruised, trials, difficulties has wore them out. And they're just really weak and fainting. But I pray, dear God, that You'll draw near to them and speak to them and help them, Lord, to get up. Because You moved quickly to get people that were down to be up like You. And so I'd ask You to take the message today. Those among us that are not saved, I ask You to deal with them. Lord, I pray You show them today that, Lord, they can't go to heaven just over being good and being religious and being sincere and being moral, being a church member, being baptized. Lord, they've got to be born again. You said that. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. And Lord, the very one You said that to, Nicodemus, ended up getting saved and become a disciple of Jesus. Lord, have Your way and just in this invitational moment, help Your people. Help Your people, Lord. Help our members, help our visitors today. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.